Welcome to the Revitalize Woman podcast with Dr. Brenda Heineke, where we bring health and wellness professionals together to talk about all aspects of women's health, from pregnancy to menopause and everything in between. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another awesome episode of the Revitalize Woman podcast. Today, I have Alex Menti, who is a doula and the owner of Mind, Body, Spirit. In full disclosure, we used her for our first delivery at the hospital, and I have nothing but good things to say about Alex. She does a fantastic job and really cares about empowering women and also their partners during this phase of their life. This recording was so much fun for me because every time I get together with Alex, we could literally talk for hours. So it was a lot of fun to sit down, chat with her, and kind of pick her brain on things. Before we get into the actual interview, though, I have some really exciting announcements that I wanted to share with all of you listening. It's been a really crazy, busy couple of weeks here, and we have so much stuff that I really think you would be excited about, too. So first, we just officially received our approval from the International Review Board to start our research study. If you haven't heard me talk about it, our research study is on the effects of pelvic floor physical therapy during pregnancy and what the outcomes are during childbirth. So we've seen over the years that our clients have had less trauma, less tearing, shorter pushing phases, less C-sections, and just an overall better recovery with a lot less pain. But there's never been a research study to look at this. There's actually never been a research study on pelvic floor PT in the manner that we'll be doing it with pregnancy. So this is groundbreaking research. It could potentially really change the face of women's healthcare and what we do during pregnancy. So at the time of this recording, we are just waiting to get our final letter of approval, which we're anticipating to have in the morning. So by the time you are hearing this, we should be ready to roll. So it has been years in the making and so much work, but I am so excited to be able to get started on this and share more about it. So second, we are gearing up to launch our online postpartum recovery course. So this course is for any woman within about a year postpartum, or even if you're currently expecting. And what it does is it teaches you the fundamentals of pelvic floor and core anatomy, kind of goes over the most common mom issues that happen after baby, why those things happen and what you can do to start fixing them, and then also recovery tips and exercise guidelines and modifications. So the course basically has everything. So if you feel like time-wise, it's really difficult to get in and see a pelvic floor PT, or maybe money is really tight and that's just not in the budget, this course is for you. So you can do it at your own pace. It's all online and it's going to give you all the starting blocks to have that recovery and fix any kind of issues or prevent them, and also get back into the same physical level that you were prior. And then the last big announcement is that tickets just went on sale for our Better Sex event, which is going to be March 18th. So this is the first time we've done an event on this scale, and I'm so excited for it. I can't wait. We have some vendors lined up that will be there at the event, and bunch of really awesome sponsors that have either donated raffle prizes or items for the swag bags. And so it is going to be such a fun night. Bring a friend. We only have 35 tickets and we've already sold a handful of them the first day opened. So if you're interested, get your ticket and invite a friend along, because this event is just for women and we're going to have kind of a candid and educational talk about issues that women experience over the course of their lives, whether that's painful intercourse, decreased libido, issues with orgasm, you name it, we're going to talk about it. So I'm super pumped. I'll link to all of this in the show notes. And I forgot to mention, the online course goes live February 20th. Registration will only be open for 2 weeks, so if you are interested in that, make sure you jump on it right away. I'll link to that in the show notes as well. All right, wow, that's a lot going on, so many announcements, but we've got so many new and fun things here that I had to share. Thanks for listening through that, and please tell your friends about some of that stuff. And if you're loving our content and you want to hear more, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts and let me know what you think. I would love to hear it. All right, it's time to really dive in here. So grab your coffee and let's talk all about babies. All right, I am so excited today for our guest, Alex Menti, who is a doula and was my doula for my son, Toby. So I have all good things to say, and I'm so excited to be able to pick her brain today on the podcast. So welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So to kind of dive right in, can you explain to everyone listening what you do as a doula and how you even got into this?
Sure. Yeah. One of the most common questions I get is, what is the difference between a doula and a midwife, and am I a midwife? So a lot of times when I explain to people, my explanation begins with, this is what a doula does, this is what a midwife does. So my role is strictly support for the family. I'm a 100% support person. I do nothing medical. So your midwife or OB would do things like blood pressure checks, cervical checks, measurements, things like that, help you with nutritional, dietary advice. I don't do any of that. I get to coach the families about what it looks like to be pregnant, to become pregnant, what labor and delivery looks like. And then on the big day, I am there 100% to help families with pain management, what to expect. And if any questions arise about medical procedures, things like that, I can help to walk through and explain those things. So I am there 100% for the family. There's no turnover. There's no turnover staff. I'm there from beginning to end for support. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. And how I began, it was a really neat way that I became, when I knew I wanted to be a doula during my fourth pregnancy.
Okay.
Well, my fifth pregnancy, but with our fourth, we had a miscarriage in there. So being a doula is one of the things that I felt like I had been already doing unofficially. So when you have four kids, there's a trial and error that happens. There's life that happens. I had done a ton of research just from my own knowledge base. Anyone who's ever delivered before probably has done
their fair share.
Google yeah. reading. Yeah. So it was one of those things where truly I feel like I was doing it before I stepped officially into the role. No one was surprised at that point. When I announced my big doula announcement, everyone kind of felt like, well, this makes sense. So I knew I wanted to support women. I knew I mean, the labor and delivery process just fascinated me. I was one of those women who really enjoyed pregnancy. It suited me, even though it wasn't always easy. I mean, sure. Pregnancy never is. But I really did appreciate the process, and I really appreciated my labor and delivery process. Mm-hmm. So coming from a culture that was kind of feeding a lot of fear into having a baby, mm-hmm. It was really refreshing when I chose to go with a midwife to see what labor and delivery could be without all the fear involved.
Sure.
And it really ended up being awesome. I loved it. And I wanted to share with other women that you don't have to be afraid. If you're prepared and if you know what to expect, half the battle's won. I mean, it's labor. So there's work to be expected, but there doesn't have to be fear going into it.
Sure. Sure. So do you feel like, what is kind of a good candidate? Because I feel like it's something we talk about here as one of our recommendations is to look at potentially getting a doula to help. And I've always said, you know, it's really, in my mind, super beneficial if you are looking to go that natural childbirth route. But even if you are planning on maybe having some kind of pain management, it can still be a really useful tool to have that support piece to help kind of answer the questions you have that come up, help you just feel a lot more comfortable and at ease throughout that whole process. Yeah. Is that accurate, or, you know, like, who benefits, I guess?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. Everyone benefits. So when we look at just historically, women have been supporting women during childbirth for centuries. It's something that even before our modern medicine age, I mean, that's what it was. You know, you didn't have an official midwife. You had probably your mother or your grandmother, or, you know, even if we go back even further, people in the village who served that role of women rallying around women. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the biggest misconceptions with doula work is that doulas are for the all-natural, super crunchy mama, no pain medicine, no way, you know, sure, that kind of deal, which is something that, I mean, certain doulas will operate in different ways. The way, sure, I operate is families need preparation. Moms need preparation. Even if you're planning, if you think you're going to go in to the hospital and you know that you're going to want an epidural, there's still so much planning in the forefront of it. What to expect, early labor signs, what to pack, what to eat, what can I eat? A lot of hospitals won't even admit before 7 centimeters, which means families, whether you're getting pain meds or not, because Tylenol at home isn't going to do it. So
yeah,
whether you're getting pain meds or not, you're still doing a fair amount of laboring at home.
Sure.
So the doula is there to coach. I do a lot of coaching for dads. I say this often. I think dads get a bad rap about not knowing how to support their wives or their partners. Sure. And I, you know, men don't even know what a menstrual cramp feel like, you know, they have no idea what that feels like. So yeah, to have someone else there, and that's really where I get the dads on board with having another person involved,
sure,
is I know what it feels like. I know what mom feels when she's trying to explain a sensation that's, you know, deep inside, which is usually the cervix dilating, but, you know, most people don't know how to put words to that. But I can come in and just come alongside and ease the situation. Mm-hmm. Tell dad, give dad a smile or a nod. You know, there's a lot of fluids that happen during birth, you know, and yeah, if you're not used to seeing your wife leaking from one end of the, you know, or the other, it can be kind of jarring for dads. So yeah, that coaching process for dads, early labor, all those things, every woman needs it. A lot of my clients will opt to get some kind of pain med. I shouldn't say a lot. There's a fair amount of people that I've supported that we just come to the point where we need a little assistance, and that's okay.
Sure.
I think what the big stigma behind pain medication is that it's a sign of weakness or a sign of failure, which is so not the case. Yeah. Sometimes the body gets to a point where we just need decisions to be made. And even my families who go into it planning 100% natural labor, mm-hmm, and if they do happen to have a twist or a turn where they do need some pain management, or you know, like maybe breaking of the waters or stripping of the membranes, things like that, but they know that they got to that point, they're educated on it.
Yeah.
They made the choice.
Yeah, I think it, yeah, helps to, I mean, I think a way that you've maybe described it to me is helping give these options and choices and educating on them to allow for the mom family to make those decisions.
Absolutely. And not to feel bullied about it.
Right.
And not to feel like they have to hide the fact that they didn't have the labor or delivery that they planned for.
Sure.
So I support families in a lot of different ways. Mostly I'm there to listen to expectations, and then to help maybe, you know, just guide them through. If sometimes expectations are really high, it's sometimes nice to come in to say, this is what it might look like, and yeah, it's okay. I call it the flow chart. We have mom at the top and healthy baby at the bottom. How we get there is one decision at a time.
Sure.
So really, you know, we go in, maybe your water breaks and you weren't expecting that. Okay, so now we know that that's going to take us to a different, you know, you're kind of on more of a time clock. And then I help navigate what that means. And there's a lot of misinformation floating around. So I'm a really good person to just touch base with. You know, my Aunt Joan said my water broke, so now if I don't have the baby within 6 hours, XYZ. So I can come in and say, your Aunt Joan is very sweet, but You know, that's not the truth.
Always the case.
Yeah. Or sometimes people think that when their water breaks, for example, they should head in right away.
Right.
Because everything we see in media and TV and anything like that means water breaks, baby's coming.
Right.
But in reality, it could be a day.
Yeah.
So to have someone just on your side that you can bounce things off of, text, call, anytime, it's just, it's a peace of mind, I think. And that's always nice.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So to give everyone a little bit of backstory, my husband and I actually used Alex as a doula for our son, Toby, and we had delivered him at the hospital. And so Alex was with us, you know, every step of the way there. And I would say, like, and everyone is so different with what they need, I think. But for me, it was so helpful to have someone that could help manage pain or to suggest changing positions or getting up and moving or getting up and going to the bathroom or just things like that that you don't think of, especially as like a first-time mom, because you have just absolutely no idea. And then also being able to kind of educate my husband on a lot of that as well. So he felt good about the whole situation and could, you know, be a active participant in it too, because I think you're right. Like a lot of dads, they want to, they just aren't totally sure how or what to do.
Yeah. Dads are a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I meet with my families, we usually do a one-on-one interview, free of cost, just kind of let's sit down, let's see if this is a good fit. But dads, I think, come in a little skeptical about why do we need another person there? Why can't I do this? Or, you know, maybe my wife doesn't trust me, or, you know, just any reason like that. But my role is to involve dad as much as possible. And I tell my families that right off the bat, I'm in no competition over dad. The father of the baby will have a connection with mom in a way that I can't build over the course of two or three meetings. And I love my families and they love me, and we do become very close, but I will never replace dad. But what I can do and what dads really appreciate is involve them and give them an idea of what it looks like. Things that they can help do. So, and I think they appreciate sometimes me doing some of the dirty work. Moms can get kind of nauseous or nauseated during labor and delivery, and I'm okay handling all that stuff. I kind of know where the bags are. I know where the bins are. I keep stuff on hand to kind of help mom with that. And I think dad's kind of like, he can encourage and love and be close. And I'm doing a lot of the background stuff that would otherwise pull dad away.
Yeah.
And we don't want that. We want dad supporting mom the entire time, unless she wants some alone time. And that happens too. And sometimes dads take coffee breaks, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I won't be there all night. You know, a lot of times I'll get a call and dad has been already on the clock for 8 hours.
Sure.
So when I show up, there's a relief where, okay, let me take over. And then dad can grab a cup of coffee. Dad can pack the car. You know, just make phone calls,
recharge,
kind of process what's going on.
Yeah.
Mom has baby carrying, you know, mom carries baby with her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there's already this ongoing preparation. Dads have a crash course at the end. So,
yeah.
But dads are, a doula should never replace dad.
Yeah.
At all. There should be a definite teamwork involved in helping dad to do what he needs to do.
Yeah. It's funny that you say like dads are always a little bit skeptical, because I feel like that's really common with my work and pelvic floor PT, because a lot of times they're like, why do you have to go? Like, what's the point of spending this money? Like, can't you just do some exercises? Because they don't totally understand everything that we go through and deal with.
And sometimes, like, we're not a luxury item. So a doula isn't just something that you tack on as a luxury, although most people would view that. And, like, for me, just a little background, Brenda did a lot of amazing work for me pelvic floor therapy-wise. My fourth labor and delivery was the fastest and the most comfortable. And I still tell people, honestly, to this day, that it was because of you, because of the work that you did. So not a luxury. If there are moms who are having discomfort or pain or have had previous births and have not had anyone take a look at them afterward. I mean, I always tell them it's so important. This isn't a luxury. This isn't a pedicure on the weekend. I mean, this is taking care of things that need attention.
Yeah. Long term. Did you know that we're starting a research study here?
No. That doesn't surprise me. You're amazing.
So, and I feel like probably everyone listening has heard me talk about this, like, that's numerous times.
I haven't heard.
But, basically looking at doing pelvic floor PT during pregnancy and the outcomes on labor and delivery, because
I would love that.
You are one of many that say that exact thing, that, you know, it makes things so much
smoother,
easy,
faster,
less trauma,
easier.
Like, just... And I was just saying earlier today that in all of my years, so I've been doing pelvic floor PT for 4 years now. Yeah. We just had our first patient go in for, like, that ended up having an unplanned C-section.
Yeah.
Out of all of the patients we've seen in 4 years, one end up in a C-section. And the national average is 1 in 3. Like, there's got to be something to this.
Absolutely. I send all my moms your way. I really do. And that was my fourth delivery.
Yeah.
So I kind of have this thing, like, had I only gone to see you from the beginning. But I know you and I talked, and there was just a lot going on in there from having three babies and not ever taking care of myself or even thinking twice about my pelvic floor health.
Yeah.
So it really was, I mean, she was 9 pounds, 1 ounce, our biggest, and we had her in less than 3 hours. Now, that's not a promise that Brenda will have you, you know, or that if I'm there, there's a baby in an hour. But I will tell you, just, I was experiencing so much discomfort before I came to see you that I had just gotten so used to. And then after I would leave, I realized that I had been walking around with so much discomfort that I was just dealing with. And I think sometimes moms, we do that.
Yeah.
We kind of back burner the things, and then we get so used to them, we don't even realize that it's not normal. Peeing. That was another thing, you know, like, you should only pee when you're at, in, you know, intentionally going to the bathroom. It shouldn't be sneezing or trampoline or anything like that. So, and I hear that all the time.
Yes.
I hear that all the time from moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's definitely something that we just have to keep educating on. And
so I would, I'm all on board for the case study.
Yeah.
I feel like
so
let me know what I can do.
It's in IRB approval right now. Cool. So depending when this podcast goes live, I have to go defend it in front of the entire International Review Board.
I know you can. Speak for us,
fingers
sister.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
If anyone can, it's you.
Let's coffee that day.
Yeah, let's, You guys, we can all,
and some
let's
wine
all meet.
After that.
Let's all meet.
We'll go celebrate.
Seriously, that's.
I'll leave it go as well.
You know what? It's these things that, especially with the information age, I think that we have so much information coming at us. We don't always know what's real.
Mm-hmm.
And you start hearing people giving medical advice, you know, just because they have a blog.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do is a very real thing. And how we deliver and how we have babies is a very real thing. It's stress on our bodies. And it's bringing awareness to that. Like, there are things that need to be checked out. There are things that need to be aligned before and after. I think aftercare, moms in general, I think our aftercare is...
Crap.
Yes.
C-R-A-P. Crap.
It is really, because, you know, we have new baby, and I think there's a lot of pressures to perform with new baby.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think we make it harder on ourselves not taking care of the things that need to be taken care of. So aftercare
is big.
And
admitting that you need that is huge.
And
I
even
mean,
knowing.
That's hard. Right.
Knowing signs. If you don't know that something, you know, how many times I've heard people say, well, I don't know, I figure I just had a baby and that's just what it is. And it's like, that's craziness that we just think that this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean, there can be comfort during labor. I know people head spin when I say that, but it doesn't have to be a train wreck. And then after, during your postpartum care, you don't have to suffer in silence. You don't have to suffer through it.
Right.
I mean, on top of taking care of a brand new baby, you know, you don't have to have the physical discomfort beyond what's normal for healing. So, and a lot of women go back to work really quickly. So seeing you and taking care of themselves like that would be, I mean, just to help get everyone back to functioning, right? Back to optimum functionality.
Yeah, I think it definitely needs to become kind of the standard. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go and see your OB or your midwife at 6 weeks or so.
Absolutely.
And then that's about it. And really, I mean, they're looking, I've had this conversation on this podcast with a few other guests that I can link to in the show notes, but, you know, they're really looking at the medical side of things. Mm-hmm. So there's so much that they need to make sure has healed properly. Mm-hmm. You know, there aren't complications medically. That's kind of their focus, and they're really making sure that that is all okay. They aren't really assessing a lot of the musculoskeletal function because it's not their expertise. Like, that's where PT comes into.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, a lot of them, they don't look at prolapse or diastasis or anything like that, because unless you have complaints, they'll maybe look. And at that point, at 6 weeks, a lot of times everything is so fresh that you don't know if it's a dysfunction yet because you haven't had that time.
And even with stitches, now they just dissolve.
Yeah.
So there's not even a second look beyond that. I mean, how many women have a baby and then until their next maybe annual physical, no one's taking a look. No one's assessing.
Right.
So a lot of what I do is resources as well.
Yeah.
So that's something that families, I give resources that they may not even know that they needed it.
Yeah.
But just to give resources, and especially resources that are important for the mom, postpartum resources, just to kind of weed out, you know, you can get an A to Z list of things that you need. But really, in the beginning, community is big. Breastfeeding is so big. And your recovery, your physical recovery from having a baby, whether it's cesarean has its own set of recovery.
Definitely.
But resources is a big deal. I know that we both do kind of a lot of we tell people where they can kind of get the help that they need.
Yeah.
And the more we talk about that, the more the light bulbs go off, like, oh yeah, maybe I should go see someone for XYZ.
Yeah.
So to keep the conversation just normal.
Right.
I mean, this is dinner talk for me, by the way. Okay. This is all normal conversation.
This is dinner with the pelvic floor PT.
This is what it is. I mean, this is our dinner talk. Could we have some more bread and
bread and talk oil, about maybe?
Oil and delivery, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I know that it's also very important when you are selecting a doula to find the right fit. Like with anything, everyone has differences. What would you say is kind of your piece of advice for someone that is considering a doula? Like, what is kind of the one thing they should look for to see if that's maybe a good fit for them?
Yeah, I love this question. I think that if your doula does not offer a get-to-know-you session, that would be a red flag for me. I am not always the right fit for families, and families sometimes aren't the right fit for me. The interview process goes both ways.
Sure.
So what I tell my families every time is that aside from the making of the baby, having the baby is so intimate, and you are inviting almost a perfect stranger in to this incredibly intimate moment of your life. So I start to build trust with my families the first time we meet.
Yeah.
So when you meet with your doula, interview her, have questions ready. You guys, we love questions and we love to answer questions because by nature, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And we may not have all the answers, but gauge how your doula navigates a question that she doesn't know how to answer. I think sometimes we kind of run into situations where we don't want to lose face or something like that, so we just start rambling on. But when it comes to having a baby, we need to give really sound advice. And your doula should always send you back to your care provider. So interview your doula. If she has extreme views one way or another, weigh that out. Talk to your spouse. Any doula that asks you to make a decision on the spot, I would be leery of. I give my families a full week. I say, go home, discuss it, discuss the financial part of it, discuss if I'm someone that you trust enough to have with you to answer questions and also to be there when a husband and wife become father and mother or when a family grows by another one. I mean, it is truly, I have an amazing job. I get to see people become a family. And if you don't trust your doula, you are going to be holding back and that will prolong your labor and delivery.
Yeah.
So even if the sound of her voice, if you don't if there's something that just doesn't sit right, it's okay. It's okay to be critical, maybe not offensive, but to be critical, and it's okay to interview multiple people. Yeah. I never have an issue when families come and they say, we've got, you know, five people that we're taking a look at. I think that's great. I mean, they're going to see you naked.
Yeah.
They might see you poop.
Yep.
And they're going to probably see you throw up. And you know what I mean? They're going to help you breastfeeding. This person needs to be someone that you trust.
Yeah. And feel really comfortable with, too.
And feel comfortable. So, yeah. And also, like, geography. If she's 3 hours away, are you okay with her meeting you at your place of birth?
Sure.
You know, just things like that. And a good doula will walk you through all of those things. It just, it's mostly, for me, I would say a family. It kind of gets touchy-feely for me.
Yeah.
But know that you're going to feel comfortable with the person you invite into this intimate event.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's important.
It's great advice. I feel like, and it kind of brought up a topic that I wanted to touch on, because I know in my realm, I've actually come across doulas that are very strongly opinionated with hospital births and having medical interventions and a medical care team. And I know with talking with you that really you're, like you said, you're not a medical personnel. You're not making those decisions. But I think it's a really good point that you also want someone that is not going to be like butting heads and fighting against your medical team, because that's not conducive to anything.
It is not. And it gets really combative if you have a doula who's there to fight. If a mom tells me that she under no circumstances wants any pain meds, and this I come across this frequently, we still in our preparation process come to the question of, okay, what's our code word? Like, When will you let me know if you're ready, if you need something?
Yeah.
Because also, I don't want mom to feel like she has now told me that she's going to do this all naturally, and now she's afraid of letting me down, these are real conversations I've had. A good doula is a support person, which means that they are able to take their own personal preferences, the way that they would have a baby, and leave it at the door, because ultimately you're making the decisions. It's your body. So anyone who's in the room, doula, nurse, OB, midwife, anyone who's in the room that is going to presume to tell you what's best for your body and what your choice ought to be, in my opinion, shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. They have lost sight of what they're there for, because moms will have babies. You are the only active person in the room. Everyone there is literally, even the OB, is there to support mom, is to meet mom's needs and to hear her. If you don't feel heard, if you feel bullied or pushed around, that's going to really make for an uncomfortable situation, not only physically, but just mentally, spiritually. It kind of gets yucky. Yeah. And I love nurses. I've had a lot of conversations with nurses in hospitals where they feel like doulas come in and they hate, you know, they have like this hatred towards hospital personnel. Then perhaps that doula shouldn't be working in that scenario.
Do you feel like that's a common thing or more of a misconception that like doulas are anti-medical?
You know what? I'm going to be really honest with you. I really try to stay in my lane. I don't talk to many doulas. When I get into like Facebook groups with other doulas, I tend to just kind of ease out. I'm in it for the information.
Sure.
But I do feel like the community here in Milwaukee, in the Lake Country area, which I serve,
uh-huh.
I don't really know many other doulas.
Okay.
Which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Sure.
But I will say I have had hospital staff, actually a chief, the head of nursing staff, what is the charge nurse?
Uh-huh.
I've had people contact me and say that they really appreciated my approach because they felt like we were all in it together.
Sure.
And that's what it is. And you know what, guys? There are people who have experience. And that L&D nurse, maybe you're not quite appreciating that she keeps suggesting certain things, but also she does have experience behind that.
Yeah.
So I think if we all go in disarmed and not combative, then we're all there for mom. Yeah. You know, when we start to walk in with our preconceived notions about XYZ, we really bring a lot of baggage in, and you can't have that in birth. Mom will feel it.
Yeah.
Mom will feel the tension. She'll pick it up physically.
Yeah.
And we can't have that. So I have heard horror stories, but I've also heard really nurturing, amazing stories. But ultimately, your doula should, if you make a choice, she should be supportive of that.
Sure.
Now, that being said, I do coach my families in the way of, because there's a point in labor where every woman, every single woman gets to the point where she's like, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
So then, but that's in our training. That's where we talk to mom, and we can, with an educated, you know, by what the hospital staff is saying and by her progress, there is just a point where it's like, we're getting there.
Yeah.
Like, we can see the end. So what I give my families is just the option, the moms, if she is wanting something, everything takes half an hour anyway, guys. Yeah. Like, I hate to break it to you, but like, if you're ready for an epidural, it'll take 30 minutes to get anesthesia there. It just does.
Right.
You know,
right.
So what I will say is, let's do three more and let's see how we feel about that. And you can always put in the order. And then after three, you can cancel it. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you can change your mind.
Yeah.
I think sometimes there's that kind of fuzziness where moms, especially in the hospital setting, they feel like they have to do whatever they're being told or whatever suggested, they have to.
Yeah.
But really, there's a choice there.
Yeah.
A responsible choice.
Yeah. With most things, that's kind of what I was surprised by, is that you have a lot more choices than I think you think you do going into it. I guess I did. That was something I thought of, but obviously it's like you said, healthy mom, happy baby. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the goal. But I think it does help to know that you do have choices and options, and sometimes it's just a matter of weighing those.
Absolutely.
To make an educated choice.
And to that end, I think what a lot of people don't realize is that they have time to make a decision.
Yeah.
So things can start picking up really fast paced, and suggestions, or do you want this, then that. And if there's not someone there to coach or to even bring that to your attention, that you can think about it. I remember during your delivery and labor, I mean, they stepped out, the nurse stepped out, there was an issue that came up, and we had like a good old fashioned three person, like, let's talk about it. Like,
yeah.
What do we think? I mean, I don't want to get into details
because
I don't know.
You can talk.
So it was about breaking your bag of waters.
Yeah.
And we really did, the three of us, we were like, okay, what does this mean? Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And ultimately we made the decision, which, you know, it just, there is time to think, and there is time to make choices and decisions. And that's, I serve that role, not to buck the system, but to let my families know, okay, this is what you're looking at.
Yeah.
And I can't say anything definitive. I never promise anything definitive to my families.
Yeah.
What I can tell you is my experience, what research shows, and I can just help slow things down.
Yeah.
I just, let's take a minute. To think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I mean, I do a lot of that. Just because it can start, especially in a medical setting, things can start rapid firing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it happens so fast. And mom, who's in very internal at that point towards transition and, you know, towards actually having baby, you know, there's not a lot that she can take on information-wise.
Yeah.
So I know when it's appropriate to talk to mom. I know when I can use really big sentences and when it's a yes or no. I know when to say, after this one, we're going to go to the bathroom, and as opposed to let me know when you're ready, because then it'll never happen.
Yeah.
You know, so just things like that, just knowing how to navigate.
This is completely an opinion-based question, but do you think that someone that's a doula that has never experienced birth or gone through it themselves, do you feel like they are still able to provide the same adequate support?
That is a question. Okay,
it's a loaded question.
No, that's okay. I don't mind confrontation. I don't mind questions like that. So I will say
this. I'm going to get you in trouble.
No, I have been around long enough to know. I would say this, and when we were talking about how to pick your doula earlier, this thought came into my mind, and then I didn't say it. But when I was interviewing for my very first doula support role. And she has now moved to Texas, but I love
to hire a doula.
To hire. Okay. Yep. This was my first birth.
Okay.
And the very first question she asked me was, how many births have you attended? And I knew it was going to happen. And I told her, and this might be just because of confidence in older age and having four kids, but I told her, you'd be my first, but I want you to know that my heart is in it. I'm there to support you. And because you're my first, you're my priority. You know, like, I'm available to you. Even to this day, I really only take one birth a month max so I can be fully available to my families. So for the doula who has no children, I believe that she can be an amazing support person. I believe that the doulas with children, there is a level that you can connect with a mom that is different. It doesn't mean better, but there are just some things about having gone through it that it's not even offensive. It would be to tell, you know, this would be in any, across the line.
Yep. Someone, it's like a perspective.
A perspective thing.
Yes.
So if someone has experienced it, going to war, you know what I mean? You're going to get a different account from a war veteran versus someone who is training, who's in basic boot camp at 18. Not because that person doesn't want to serve their country. You're just going to get a different perspective.
Yeah.
But I trained with a couple of gals who, and that was a concern. This was something that we talked about during our training. What does it look like for the doula who's never had kids?
Yeah.
I say there are some women who are born to serve. If you have a heart of service, and those doulas might be more technically sound, you know, because they're really researching everything that way and they're not going off of this was my experience kind
yeah.
of thing. So
yeah,
it's an interesting question.
Yeah, because, you know, as a pelvic floor PT, I mean, obviously with anything, you're always going to have like your first patient, like first one. But, you know, I've been practicing now, like I said, 4 years with pelvic floor, and two of which were prior to kids. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not that I only treat, you know, that pregnancy postpartum. I treat women the whole spectrum of their life and all the different stages. But it definitely does, after going through it, it gives you a different perspective in how you can engage.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't say it's changed my skill set at all. It just has, I think it's help me understand a little bit more when women talk about their experience or what happened. Like, I can actually, you know, picture that, and I know more about it versus you're just going off of textbook.
Absolutely. Yep. It really does. It does. It's so, for example, my son is in third grade, our oldest, and his teacher is pregnant with her first kid. And I'm so overjoyed for her. You know, I'm just like excited if anyone's having a baby.
Yeah.
But she has already said that her pregnancy has changed the way that she teaches.
Oh, interesting.
And that was, she was just saying like how interesting it was that even just pregnancy changes her perspective.
Yeah.
So it really is. I wouldn't discount a doula. You know, people make different choices. Some people aren't able to have kids, or their choice, you know.
Right.
I think that we can definitely serve, but the relatability. So when a mom, there's sometimes, Brenda, I look at a mom and she doesn't even have to say anything, and I know.
Yeah.
And I know it. I know what she's feeling. And we, at our postpartum visit, we'll talk about that, and she'll say, I knew that you knew. You know, and it's, I mean, you guys can't see me cry. But, you know, like you, but it was just, it's this thing where just, you know. And instincts play a role. My biggest question that I get from my families is, when do we go in?
Yeah.
When do we know it's time? How do I know this baby is coming?
Yeah.
Part of it is instinctual. You and I were just talking about, you can time contractions, but there is something about a mom's behavior. There's something about, you know, just how she's coping, the intensity of a contraction, that sometimes minutes can't tell you.
Yeah.
So, and that can also, I guess, come about with just the more births you attend.
Sure.
But it only took me, I think, about a handful of births to really, I have this firm conclusion that all women were the same. it looks the same, it sounds the same, it smells the same, it feels the same. We are all individuals. We all have a different thumbprint and we all do it differently. But having a baby, it just, it will bring, I think, like any two moms coming together as strangers will always land on a common ground having had a baby. Yeah. It just brings, it just does. It just, it is amazing.
That's awesome.
It really is. It is very cool.
So we have to kind of wrap up a little bit. Yeah. I feel like we could talk forever.
I love
talking with Alex.
If you have
never had the opportunity to meet her, she is just wonderful in person. So, but to kind of wrap up, what would be your biggest piece of advice for either a pregnant mom or a new mom?
Yeah. Prepare.
Okay.
Prepare. Don't buy into the, it's instinctual. You'll know what to do when the time comes. Preparing for a birth is, it seriously, it will set you up. People think that the magic happens the day of, but really it's all the preparation before. And surround yourself with a community. Motherhood can be really isolating. Just have people to go talk about the ups, talk about the downs, and talk to them. Talk to your doula. I still have moms that years have passed,
yeah,
and they'll text me and they'll share things with me, and I love that because I get to know them as moms versus a doula patient relationship. Sure. But connect with people. Just, we're all in it together. We need other people.
It's great advice.
And go see Brenda. Seriously, though.
So the last question I have is, what is your favorite current way of practicing self-care?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? The biggest thing that impacted me for self-care was my calendar.
Okay.
My calendar. I was way overscheduled. I think even when the fun things started seeming like another thing to do. So for me, it was fundamental. It was, where was my priority?
Yeah.
Yep. It was, where was my priority? And slim down. Ladies, cut your calendar by half.
Great advice.
At least by half.
Yeah.
Yep.
I need to do this. Definitely. Do that.
That's huge self-care. I mean, listen, I like a bubble bath. Yeah. I like a mani-pedi. I do.
Yeah.
But that stuff's temporary.
Right. Yeah.
Get into, you know, I spend a lot of time at my local church. Yeah. Just slim down your calendar. See what means. Actually spend time with your family.
Yeah.
There will be time for us to do all the things that we want to do, you know, when our kids are older. But right now, our calendars drown us. You look at people, like, next time you're out for coffee, have your friend pull out, because I know the calendar's on the phone, and just take a peek and see what's up.
Yeah.
Because it gets crazy.
Totally.
Self-care.
Hey, that is great advice. Yeah. A great thing to end on today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this has been so much fun. If you're listening, check out our show notes. I will link to Alex's webpage and where you can find her.
For sure.
So if you are looking for a doula, I would highly recommend her and go check her out.
That's so sweet. I hope to meet all of you.
Yeah. Thank you so much again. And
thanks for having me. Keep doing it. I mean, I want to stay involved with all the good work you're doing here. I think this is awesome.
I will keep you posted. We'll be in touch always.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. I had so much fun with this, and I hope you really enjoyed my conversation with Alex today. Stay tuned for your pelvic floor tip of the day. But if you want to find any of the resources that we mentioned in today's episode, head over to our show notes. That link will be revitalize-pt.com/EP11. Again, that is revitalize-pt.com/EP11. And today's pelvic floor tip of the day is for all of my C-section mamas out there. Work to desensitize your incision so it's not painful or numb by rubbing a smooth piece of fabric over the incision in little circles to your tolerance. And once again, check out some of our really exciting things coming up that are linked in the show notes. I can't wait for you to join us with some of that. Have a great day, everybody, and I'll see you on the next episode.